Man, you guys got quiet quick.
If you have your Bibles, you can open them to 2 Kings chapter 11 and then put a finger in 2 Chronicles chapter 22. And if you need a Bible, lift up your hands. The ushers will get a Bible to you. Again, 2 Kings 11, 2 Chronicles 22. Hey, while you're turning there, don't forget, Resurrection Sunday, right? So no service here. One service at the Buena, and that's going to be at 10 o'clock. There's still some invitations. This weekend we ran out of them like three times. So what's left out there, you guys are responsible to take all the remaining ones and get them out. So they're out there, so that's your job between now and Sunday. Right, you guys like mellowed out. Was that last song good? Did you want to like get raised? Yes. Yeah, that was, I asked the team to learn that. And they blessed me. So what a good team we have, huh? Hey, a couple things coming up. Don't forget we have the baptism coming up April 17th. So if you haven't been baptized, see Pastor Jack, talk to him, and we'll get that taken care of. Also, the women's tea, the registration is still out at the Info Center and School of Ministry registration. Is that table still up? Is the table up? Yeah. Okay, so table's out there. Did you guys get the move over to the good place? They're not talking to me. Did they move it or still in the same place? Same place? They didn't get the good spot? What do you have to pay for that? Huh? Oh, are they still there? Oh, the Outback's still, oh. This is the same thing I had last week. Oh. Okay. They're saving paper. So, okay, the Outback's still doing it too. So we're just going to have a conversation. You guys can catch up in a moment, So anyway, all that stuff going on, you guys seem a little bit kind of chilled tonight. Did you guys not get caffeine? I did a bunch of caffeine, so we're going to go fast. Yeah, and we're going to like fly through this. All right, let's pray. Father, we do thank you once again for the opportunity to be here. And we do pray, God, that you would bless this time. Lord, as we study and look at, God, the reality of your sovereignty and Lord, just how amazing things work out, Lord, as we watch your hand move. And I pray that as we just look at this kind of just a small part of the history of Israel, but yet a huge, huge part in your plan, that it would just speak to our hearts that we can trust you. That, Lord, even when things seem as bleak as they can be, that we can still trust you and know, God, that you have a purpose and that you have control of the situation and that you are going to get your will done. So, Lord, I pray that you would bless this time in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, as we're studying here in Kings and Chronicles, you know, to me, I love these couple chapters we're going to look at here in Kings and the one in Chronicles. If you remember when we left off, remember some of you who have been coming, Jehu? Remember, he took over as king, and we had that huge massacre last week, right? Not here, but biblically speaking, right? There was that huge massacre and how he's wiping out anybody that had anything to do with Ahab, even to the point where Ahaziah's, even some of his distant relatives came from Judah and came up, and he wiped them out. So think about the bloodshed that has gone on. And when you talk about the royal family, and especially in the last few chapters, at least in Chronicles, Kings kind of we went north, now we're going to come south. But if you remember when in Chronicles, 2 Chronicles 21, when Jehoram took over, he slaughtered all of his brothers. You guys remember that, who've been with us for a while? Killed all of his brothers. You talk about a lot of royal bloodshed. It has been going on big time. Now listen, this becomes important for this purpose. What did God promise David? That he would always have somebody on the throne of Israel. And so right now, check this out. Look at what we're looking at. Jehu killed Ahaziah, and he was one of the only survivors, and now he killed all of his relatives, and it's not looking too good, listen carefully, for the dynasty of David. And it's about to get worse. And when I read this, here's what I think about. I think about our own lives, and when things seem to go so off from where we thought they were going to go, so different in a direction than we thought, and even at many times so painfully different. And that's what we're watching with the nation of Judah. So look at verse 1 of chapter 11, when Athaliah, the mother of Ahaziah. Oh, hell, you guys remember who she is? Don't read on. Remember who Athaliah is? Remember, she's the daughter of Ahab and Jezebel, right? And so she's still there. She married Jehoram, who slaughtered all of his brothers so he could be the king. And she married him. They had a couple kids. And then Ahaziah, their only surviving son, just now got wiped out. So she's in Judah. Look at what happens. The mother of Ahaziah, when she saw that her son was dead, that she arose and destroyed all the royal heirs. Is that gross or what? This is a grandma killing her grandchildren. Grandmas just don't do that, right? Some grandmas are smiling. Don't smile at that. Holy. This is like, listen, you can make this kind of stuff up, right? I mean, this is like some of the most bizarre stuff going on. Once again, you have brothers. You have a brother killing all of his brothers. Then you have Jehu deciding he's going to wipe out anybody who ever even speaks the name of Ahab. And then all of those who survive, and listen carefully, these would have been little guys. Ahaziah was in his mid-20s when he died, so he wouldn't have had older kids. These are little ones, and she's massacring them. She's slaughtering them because she wants power. Strange what that will do to a person, huh? When they're driven for power, the things that they will do. And so she's slaughtering her grandchildren. And I read that and I think, how gross can it get? How bad can it really get when we're reading through this? Well, look at the, here's some good news. But Jehosheba, the daughter of King Joram. Now, here's an interesting thing. This is a daughter of Joram, or Jehoram, whichever name you want to call him, who was married to Athaliah. But obviously, this is not her daughter. This is a daughter by another wife. Remember, the kings would have several wives, right? So this is, you know, some people said, well, Athaliah was her stepmom. Not really, because her mom was probably still around, right? Not kind of the stepmom thing like we think of. It's not like a blended family. It's like a messed up family. Just period, just plain messed up, right? So listen, Jehoram has this daughter, and her name is Jehosheba. And it says, listen, she was the sister of Ahaziah, and she took Joash, the son of Ahaziah, stole him away from among the king's sons who were being murdered, and they hid him and his nurse in the bedroom from Athaliah so that he was not killed. So listen, this lady takes her nephew. He's about a year old. Imagine having to save a one-year-old from their grandma, right? This is just bizarre. And she takes him and she hides him in a place where, it says bedroom, but it was a place where beds were stored, maybe in a palace, but she gets him away, she gets him out of there, and she gets this nurse. So here's the thing you got going on in Judah. Kind of think about this. You got this lady who's power hungry. She's slaughtering everybody. She's slaughtering all these kids so she can remain in power. Obviously a pretty evil woman, and obviously a pretty powerful woman. And then you have this other lady who's going to take a chance. Now, here's what blows my mind. All of God's promises to Israel hinge on this one-year-old. Wow, that's kind of crazy, huh? When you think about God and you think about God working His plan and what He's doing, you know, I kind of always think of the grand things. I never think of that God is hinging everything on a one-year-old child and really, really hinging everything on some lady in the palace to protect that one-year-old child. And then hinging everything on that lady who's going to go tell a nurse to help her, who the nurse could turn the kid in and get him slaughtered so that she could be on the good side of the person in power. Are you kind of get what's going on? This is pretty complex, isn't it? And you think God took that chance And some of us go, but come on, it's not really a chance when it's with God. It's still a chance. Listen, I understand God's sovereignty, but it's still a chance, right? There's a risk. You're all the way down. Listen, the entire line of David is down to one one-year-old child. And some of you are going, that's not that big a deal. Oh, let me put it to you this way. The entire line that Jesus is going to come through is down to a one-year-old child. We have an amazing God, don't we? When I mean, I look at this stuff and I go, how amazing. Our salvation, you and me right now sitting here, depend on this one-year-old child. If he doesn't survive, we don't get saved. Wow, that's pretty incredible. Huh? So you got this lady, she's kind of going against whoever, you know, I don't want to call her stepmother, but, you know, the woman in power, we'll call her. I had a name kind of went through my head, but I'm not going to say it out loud. I gotta go. I gotta keep going here. It's just like so she gets a nurse. Oh, and then check this out. It says, so he was hidden with her in the house of the Lord for 6 years while Athaliah reigned over the land. So now he shifts from the bedroom and gets in the house of the Lord. Somehow he gets in the temple. How did this 1 year old end up being raised in a temple for 6 years? Well, the next verse 4 says, in the seventh year, Jehoiada sent and brought the captains of hundreds. Now, before we read about this guy, where did this guy come from? You're reading this. Where did he come from? Who is this guy? Oh, let's go to Chronicles and find out. Keep your finger here. We're going to come back. Let's go to Chronicles and find out what's going on in Chronicles because it gives us a little more detail. Remember, Chronicles is more concerned with the kings of Judah, not so much with the kings of Israel. So listen, so far we've been up in Israel, like hanging out with Jehu and stuff. Now we're kind of on our tour bus that we're going to be on in a couple days. And now we're going to go down south and we're in Judah. And let's pick it up in verse 10 of chapter 22 of 2 Chronicles. And it kind of reiterates, now when Athaliah, the mother of Ahaziah, saw that her son was dead, she arose and destroyed all the royal heirs of the house of Judah. But Jehoshabeath, or Jehoshabeath, which is Jehoshabeath, the daughter of the king, took Joash, the son of Ahaziah, stole him away from among the king's sons who were being murdered, and she put him and his nurse in a bedroom. So Jehoshabeath, the daughter of the king of Jehoram, the wife of Jehoiada the priest. Oh, that's the connection, huh? Jehoiada's married to Jehoshabeath, and he's a priest. And now Jehoiada, obviously, and Jehoshabeath have got together, and they're thinking, we got to save our nephew. We got to take care of him. So now he takes him, because he's the priest, he takes him into the house of the Lord to protect him, hide him, and raise him. And so it says, listen, Jehoiada, the priest, for she was the sister of Ahaziah, hid him from Athaliah so that she did not kill him. And he was hidden with them in the house of God for 6 years while Athaliah reigned over the land. So kind of the same thing. But now we know who Jehoiada is, right? He's married to what's-her-face, the other Jehoi lady. Jehoshabeath. So he's married to that. So listen. Now he's 7 years old. And I kind of wonder, I think maybe he was out roaming around. She just didn't recognize him. You know, Athaliah didn't recognize him. She's been reigning for 7 years. Think about this lady, man. She's been ruling Israel for 7 years. She's not the king of Israel, or queen, if you will. Probably acted more like a king than a queen, but she's not supposed to be in power. She usurped this entire thing. But she's running a country. Jehoiada is waiting. And he's waiting for the right time. When do we make our move on this lady? When is God's timing to bring out the real king of Israel? Oh, he happens to be this little boy. But when do we do it? We do it in 2 years, then 3 years, do it in 4 years. I'm reading this, 6 years, I don't know about you guys, 6 years would seem like an eternity to me to be waiting. I don't wait well. Somebody sent me a little thing the other day about waiting, and the guy in the line, it was hilarious. He just kept switching lines, and then he finally got to the place, and it closed.
It's like, oh.
6 years, 6 years. They're waiting, they're waiting. I don't think they were strategizing the entire 6 years. I think they're just waiting. They're just waiting to see. So listen, it says in chapter 23, verse 1, in the seventh year, there we are, Jehoiada strengthened himself, and he made a covenant with the captains of hundreds. And there's five guys named here, Azariah and the rest of them. Azariah and the other four. There's some hard names. Azariah, Pete, Joe, Bill, and Sam. So they're hanging out. Listen, here's what I find fascinating is Jehoiada had it together enough where he gets five major leaders of Israel and he gets them together. And I believe he gets them together and he goes, I got a little secret for you guys. What's the secret? I have a descendant of David that's been hanging out with me. And we can get rid of that old hag. I mean, queen. We can get rid of Athaliah. How are we going to get rid of Athaliah? Don't you kind of think she ruled kind of heavily, right? If she's slaughtering her grandkids, come on. She's going to do anything, right? People got to be a little bit afraid of her. And so how are we going to pull this off? Well, Jehoiada goes, here's the thing. I got you guys. You guys need to get on my side. We're going to pull in some others. We're going to pull in some other people. And we're going to get some leaders together. And check this out. We're going to make a covenant. Look at verse 2. And they went throughout Judah, and they gathered the Levites from all the cities of Judah and the chief fathers of Israel. And they came to Jerusalem. Then all of the assembly, these people that all got together, made a covenant with the king in the house of God, and they said to them, and he said to them, behold, the king's son shall reign as the Lord has said of the sons of David. Here's what's going on. They're even kind of looking at Jehoiada right now as a king, I think, because he's acting on behalf of this kid. But he's saying, all right, listen, we got to take this kid and we got to crown him. Woo! That's kind of a heavy thing to do, right? So they're going to bring it together. So now, listen, now he has his coalition together. This is just like today when they make coalitions, they get together, they're going to oust somebody, they're going to bring somebody in, they're going to do something, right? He's got his coalition together. Now here's the thing about Jehoiada. He wants it to be kind of smooth. He doesn't want to have a big battle. He doesn't want to have a big war. He just wants to come in and make it happen. So he comes up with this fantastic plan. Keep your finger here. We'll come back here. Go back to Kings. And in Kings, listen, we can go down and go to verse 5. We looked at verse 4. Go to verse 5. Well, we kind of did verse 4 from the other one. So listen, verse 5. Then he commanded them, saying, this is what you shall do. One-third of you who come on duty on the Sabbath shall be keeping watch over the king's house. One-third shall be at the gate of Sur, and one-third at the gate behind the escorts, and you shall keep watch of the house, lest it be broken down. Now, we're going to find out there's actually five different platoons, but he's saying, listen, during the Sabbath, you get a couple extra coming on, and during the Sabbath, you got guys exchanging, right? You got these guards kind of, some going off, some coming on, and here's what he's trying to do. He's trying to get them all at one place to protect the king without drawing attention. So when's the best time to do it? Not during a regular day because they're kind of exchanging shifts kind of in a normal way. But during the Sabbath, there's more exchange going on. And he's thinking, listen, if we can pull this off during the Sabbath, as all of the soldiers come together, as all of the platoons gather around the temple, nobody's going to be suspicious because everybody's going to think we're just exchanging, right? Are you guys with me? Wow, what a plan, right? I'm kind of digging this guy. He's got this whole thing figured out, right? So then, listen, it says, so you got these thirds, they're different places. Then verse 2, the two contingents of you who go off duty on the Sabbath shall keep watch of the house of the Lord for the king, but you shall surround the king on all sides, every man with his weapons in his hand, and whoever comes within range, let him be put to death. You are to be with the king as he goes out and as he comes in. So you guys got the plan? They're going to pull this off. This is kind of cool when you think about it. Listen, when you think about it, God took a risk, right? One woman. Just one woman. Jehoshaphat, she had to go, and she had to be brave enough to grab that little guy and his nurse and take him and hide him. And then her husband had to be brave enough to approach five guys and ask them if they're with him. Then he had to use those five guys to get some other captains and other guys in on the deal. Are you kind of going with this? Listen carefully. It all started with that one woman. One woman to save God's plan. Woo. And we think, listen, we think we don't matter. We think we don't count. Jehoshaphat, but nobody even knows her. I mean, I think in heaven you're going to have a hard time finding her, right? After tonight, you're not even going to remember her name. But yet God used her. Think how incredible that is. Tell me he doesn't use the ordinary to do extraordinary things. Tell me that God's not a risk taker with just plain old people like us. Huh? I love this. And now everybody's set, man. Can you imagine? Can you imagine how excited? Because I read this and here's what I'm thinking, man. This is almost as exciting as when Jesus was born. Because this is saving the Davidic dynasty. This is saving that lineage. This is it. Without him, there's nothing else going to, there's no Jesus. It ain't going to happen. You kind of get the idea that who's really behind this whole thing of getting rid of all of these people? Satan. Satan has tried from the beginning, right? From the very first promise in Genesis chapter 3. He works at trying to destroy, whether we're talking about Moses and all of the babies, whether, you know, we just go on and on and on, and we get all the way down. You get here, and you're all the way down to one survivor. Are they going to pull this off? Well, most of you go, yeah, I know they're going to pull it off because Jesus was born. Come on, Pat. But it's sort of exciting. Can you imagine? Can you imagine what it would have been like to be there in Jerusalem that day? The buzz going on, a few people talking, and what is happening? You see these soldiers, and you kind of know they switch, but you're kind of noticing they're not switching so fast. Some of them are kind of lingering around, and what's happening? And there had to be a little bit of a buzz. There had to be a couple tweets going out, and you know, some stuff posted on Facebook and different things. And listen, they're ready. And here it goes. It's going to go down. So when they get all ready, man, I love it. They're surrounding him. Oh, they had one more thing to do. Verse 9, so the captains of the hundreds did according to all that Jehoiada the priest had commanded. Each of them took his men who were on duty on the Sabbath with those who were going off duty on the Sabbath, and they came to Jehoiada the priest. Now check out, I love this part, man. Look at verse 10. And the priest gave the captains of hundreds and the spears and the shields which had belonged to King David that were in the temple of the Lord. Remember when King David would go conquer people, he would like take their weapons and stuff. So he had all those. And so here's what Jehoiada comes up with this great plan. Hey, let's take some of the stuff that David used. Man, this will be really cool, right? Here's what I'm thinking. It's antique by now. You know, it's like everybody else has really cool weapons. We got these old weapons. Do you know, it's been over 100 years. How would you like to go to war with what they were using 100 years ago? Oh, that puts it in a little bit of perspective, doesn't it? It's like, here's these cool weapons. I don't think so, Jehoiada. Like, you're a priest, not a soldier, bro. So what are you giving us this old stuff? Well, because it was David's. So I think they're kind of stoked to have David's stuff, right? So they go out, maybe gives them a little bit more courage. And it says, then the escorts stood every man with his weapon in his hand all around the king from the right side of the temple to the left side of the temple by the altar and by the house. So listen, they're all around the temple, man. No one's going to get into that temple area. And remember when they built the temple? Remember they had the two pillars? Do you guys remember way back when we did the little virtual tour of the temple and they had the two pillars? Someone say yes just to appease me. All right. Liars. So but they had the two pillars going on because these were important. Remember when you look at them and go back and read in the beginning of Kings when they built it. But they have the two pillars. Check this out. And it says, listen, and he brought out the king's son. This is Joash. And he put the crown on him. Imagine, where did they get the crown? Obviously, what's her face? Athaliah is not wearing the crown. They get the real crown. And he put the crown on his 7-year-old. Now, I get a picture of that. I mean, you know what? When you're a little guy, you put your dad's clothes on. You look like a little kid with your dad's clothes on, right? So you're a little guy. You got a king's crown. It's got a kind of, whoop, maybe it was like going around his neck or something. I don't know. But they put the crown on him. Listen, and they gave him the testimony. Now, when it says the testimony, it's not like they came and shared their testimony with him. What did they give him? They gave him the covenant. They let him know the promises of God. They let him know what God said, and they put it in front of this little guy. He's 7 years old. Some of you have 7-year-olds. Can you imagine your 7-year-old running a country? That's kind of scary, isn't it? So listen, they get him there, and I'm imagining the little guy's going, "Woo, we're playing king today, okay. You know, this is a good thing." So they put it on him, and listen, and they gave him the testimony, and they made him king. They anointed him, and then they clapped their hands, and they shouted, "Long live the king." So it's done. Man, they pulled this thing off. Listen, they got it done. Oh, but when they start shouting, get someone else's attention, right? Good old Athaliah. The palace isn't too far from the temple. She's hearing all this commotion. She's not a real happy lady now, right? So listen, she comes running. Verse 13, "Now when Athaliah heard the noise of the escorts and the people," here's the interesting thing. Some of these escorts were supposed to be her escorts. They're supposed to protect her. But according to Jehoiada's plan, I think this was everything he conceived. According to his plan, he knew he could startle her, get her away from anybody protecting her. She comes running into the temple to see what's happening into the temple area. And she came to the people in the temple of the Lord. And when she looked, there was a king standing by the pillar. One of those two pillars. That's where they would anoint the king, right? There he is standing there according to the custom. And the leaders and the trumpeters by the king. And all the people of the land were rejoicing and blowing trumpets. And Athaliah tore her clothes and cried out, "Treason, treason." Sounds kind of familiar, doesn't it? Oh, it's too late, lady. You're done. It's over. Isn't it amazing when we do trust the promises of God? And we do go maybe even sort of against the grain at times? How all of a sudden everything switches? I look at this and here's what I'm looking at. This is going to change the course of an entire country. Because there was a lady in the palace who took a chance. So the lady in the palace swooped up that little 1-year-old. So we're going to do this. It's time. And what blows my mind, they weren't rebellious. They didn't really, quote, go against. They just raised him up, put him there. Now Athaliah doesn't know what to do. She has no clue what to do. This lady is dumbfounded. This wasn't supposed to happen. Can you imagine having the blood of your own grandkids on your hands? And now it's coming undone. It's all for naught. Oh, you got to reign for 6 years. Whoopee. Now it's done. It's finished. Jehoiada, listen, he doesn't like her much. She's screaming treason. Verse 15, "And Jehoiada the priest commanded the captains of hundreds, the officers of the army, and said to them, 'Take her outside under guard and slay with the sword whoever follows her, for the priest had said, do not let her be killed in the house of the Lord.'" So bottom line, he's saying, you got to get her out of here to kill her. And if anybody follows you, you just kill them along the way, okay? Just go take care of it. So they took her out. She kind of knows. Don't you think she knows? This is it? Sure. So they seized her and they went out by way of the horses' entrance into the king's house, and there she was killed. Boom. Just like that. Everything's changed now, right? She's gone. You know when you do things and you listen to the enemy and you try and follow his plan, it comes apart that quickly. That quickly. Everything's gone. Now she's gone. And the people are pretty stoked. Here's an amazing thing. One moment, you got this crazy lady ruling you. The next minute, check this out. You got a 7-year-old who's king. What's a 7-year-old going to do? I hope you know that most of the time Jehoiada was actually running the country, the priest. He's a good guy. Oh, you can read ahead in Chronicles. When Jehoiada dies, it's not too good for Joash. But that's a different story. So look, let's get here. Then Jehoiada, verse 17, Jehoiada made a covenant between the Lord and the king and the people that they should be the Lord's people, and also between the king and the people. So you get this idea. Listen, once she's gone, he brokers everything and he gets it all done, right? And I'm sure he's letting them know, this is a descendant of David. This is the way it was supposed to be. It's done this way now. It's okay, right? And he does it all before the Lord. He gets everything going. Now keep your finger here. We might get back here, but go to Chronicles, because Chronicles this a little bit different. So it tells us, listen, I got to figure out where I'm at in Chronicles. Okay, so here we are in, where did he kill her? Okay, so verse 14 of Chronicles, let's follow it from there. It says, and Jehoiada the priest brought out the captains of hundreds who were set over the army, and he said to them, take her outside and with the sword whoever follows, and kill, slay with the sword whoever follows her. For the priest had said, do not kill her in the house of the Lord. So they seized her. They went out by the entrance of the horse gate and the king's house, and there they killed her. Then Jehoiada made a covenant between himself and the people and the king that they should be the Lord's people. And all the people went to the temple of Baal. Oh, remember what was going on? Remember what Athaliah brought into Jerusalem? Who was her mom? Jezebel. And Jezebel was the daughter of a priest of Baal. And Jezebel brought into Israel, the northern part, the northern kingdom, the worship of Baal. And then Jezebel's daughter, Athaliah, goes down, marries Joram, and she brings down into Jerusalem the worship of Baal. The false worship. That's all. So everything had shifted that way. She was all happy. Now listen, now the people, they're ready and they want to follow the Lord. They want to follow the one, check this out, I think who just delivered them. So listen what it says. And the people went to the temple of Baal and they tore it down and they broke to pieces its altars and its images, and they killed Matan, the priest of Baal, before the altar. So listen, this is a guy who's serving Baal. So they're wiping out all of that Baal worship that was going on, that was supposed to have been wiped out a generation ago, but it didn't get taken care of. It just got almost taken care of. It's sort of like when we do our sin and we almost take care of our sin, but not quite, because we want to keep enough of it just in case we want to sin again, and we kind of keep enough hanging on, and then it gets us, right? Here's what they're doing. They're wiping it completely out. Do you remember what Jehu did with the Temple of Baal? Remember last week when we looked at it? They took the Temple of Baal, and it went from being a house of God to an outhouse. Kind of gross, huh? A dunghill, a potty dump. Wow. Now Judah's kind of going that same thing. It's good. Judah should have gone there first, not following Israel. But now, listen, now they're wiping out Baal. They're getting rid of him and then rid of all of that worship. And Jehoiada, verse 18, Jehoiada appointed the oversight of the house of the Lord to the hand of the priests, the Levites, whom David had assigned in the house of the Lord to offer burnt offerings of the Lord, as it is written in the law of Moses, with rejoicing and singing, as it was established by David. So listen, now you come back, you kind of come full circle, and think how far they had gone. Judah had gone so far that they didn't even have a king in charge. They had a queen, a lady who usurped all of the authority. They had Baal worship going on. From the reading of this, it sounds like they didn't even have the real worship in the temple going on anymore. All they were doing, and listen, in just one stroke, it comes back. It's back. You get rid of the queen, you get the right guy on the throne. You begin to follow God. You begin to trust His promises, even when it seems like His promises aren't there to trust. You begin to go that direction, and everything begins to change. Everything begins to come back. Oh, go back to Kings, because I think the end of Kings is a little bit different than the end of Chronicles. So they went in and killed him. Verse 19 says, then they took the captains of hundreds of bodyguards and the escorts and all the people of the land, and they brought the king down from the house of the Lord and went by way of the gate of the escorts of the kings. And then they sat. Then he sat on the throne of the kings. Can you imagine that picture that day? It's a little kid. He's got this crown. I don't know how the crown's on his head. I just had, you know. And then they take and, do you remember reading about the throne that Solomon built? It was huge. You got this 7-year-old. I bet he thought he was all that. He's taking selfies, putting them on Instagram. Look at me in the king's chair. Man. It's kind of frightening in some ways, isn't it, that the country had gone that direction? There wasn't a real adult? That the entire lineage of David came down to that little guy. And God saved him. God rescued him. God made sure he was going to get there, huh? And we read it now. We read back and we go, well, that's not a big deal. Imagine if you were living in that era. Imagine if you were somebody and you were really believing in God. You're living in Jerusalem. You had your Bible. You had your Old Testament. Well, at least you had up through 1 Kings chapter 20 or 2 Kings chapter 20. And you knew the promises, and you knew what was going on. And then all of a sudden, one day, everything changes. And there's a slaughtering of little babies. And this lady takes over. And it seems like the promise is gone, right? I mean, from your perspective, hey, you're not living in a palace. You don't know. You're not Jehoiada. You're not Jehoshaphat. You're not those people. You don't know what's happening. And from your perspective, it's done. It's over. From your perspective, it looks like God doesn't keep his promises. Kind of sound like today? When things don't go the way we expect, when all of a sudden our lives are turned upside down, nothing seems to kind of mesh together. It seems like to us, God doesn't keep his promises. I have people coming to me, where's your good God now? Same place he's always been, on his throne. But it doesn't seem to be working, Pat. Oh, he's working. Just wait. Just wait. Might take 7 years. Might take 100 years. She can't give up. Listen, all of a sudden now you come to this side of it and you're looking and here's this 7-year-old kid sitting on the throne and you're going, wow, there is a God in heaven. Well, God is real. God did keep his promises. There's that little Joash. Remember little Joash? I remember the day he was born. I thought Athaliah had killed them all, but he got away. Someone protected him. So, verse 20, all the people of the land rejoiced and the city was quiet, for they had slain Athaliah with the sword at the king's house. And Joash was 7 years old when he became king. Go over to Chronicles. We'll kind of read the last bit of chapter 23. Kind of says the same thing. Then he took on verse 20. Verse 19, well, verse 18. No, we read 18. No, we didn't read 18. We read 17. 18, and Jehoiada appointed the oversight of the house of the Lord to the hands of the priests, the Levites, whom David had assigned. We read this, right? And the Lord, as was written in the law of Moses, with rejoicing and singing, as it was established by David. And he set the gatekeepers at the gates of the house of the Lord, so that no one who was in any way unclean should enter. Then he took the captains of hundreds, the nobles, the governors, and all the people of the land, and he brought the king down from the house of the Lord, and they went through the upper gate to the king's house, and he set the king on the throne of the kingdom. So all the people of the land rejoiced, and the city was quiet, for they had slain Athaliah with the sword. So, in spite of what we're looking at, in spite of our circumstances, God is in control. And we need to know this for sure. He keeps his promises. Someday Jesus is going to come back. He's coming back for his bride. Hallelujah, huh? Do you think he's a little anxious? You know, whenever I do weddings, I tell you guys, I always look at the groom. You know, other people, when the bride, they open the back doors and a bride comes in and everybody turns and looks at the bride. I look at the groom because I want to see the groom look at the bride. I want to see his face light up. And he's always kind of anxious till that door opens. He's kind of standing there. My neck, what's going to... Kind of trying to look between the windows. Do you think Jesus is doing that for us? Do you think he's a little anxious? I do. I think he's waiting for his bride. Come on. What bridegroom is not anxious and in anticipation of his bride? I think Jesus is that way. Maybe I'm exaggerating a little bit, but I think he's anxious to get us. He wants to come and get us and take us with him. He's going to come back. Oh, sometimes it seems like it's, you know, some people say it's never going to happen. It's been thousands of years and it hasn't happened yet. Oh, God's going to do it and God is going to keep his promises. Just like this little guy sat on the throne. Oh, let's bring it down to us. What about us? Do you know he's going to get every one of us to heaven who know him? Hallelujah, huh? Some of us even try and sabotage that. But he's going to make it. So as I read this section, a little bit weird, a little bit gory start, but a really, really good ending, huh? Because here's what happens, man. That little one-year-old turns into a seven-year-old that turns into a man that has children that keeps the line of David going so that the ultimate son of David can come and die for the world. Hallelujah. But man, it was close, huh? Don't you look at some of this and go, man, God, that was close. And here's the great thing. It's not like the Lord was in heaven going, I hope it works. And I really hope Jehoshaphat comes through. Maybe she'll do it. Maybe she won't. He's got things in control, doesn't he? Let's stand up and pray. Father, we thank you, Lord. We thank you for your word. We thank you that as we can look at this, we can see promise, Lord. We can see your promise and your faithfulness to your word. Even when it looks like it's not going to happen. Even when all appearances seem like it's gone. Lord, we need to learn at those dark times, just as we sang with that new song, those dark times, that same power that raised Jesus from the dead lives in us. And we can trust you, we can believe you, and we can count on you. And God, as we get ready to celebrate the resurrection, I pray, Lord, that God, in our hearts, that it would be a time where, Lord, we're just so amazed at how great our God is. And that, Lord, it just draws us closer and closer to you. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.